right? Just thinking, you know, going through mom and dad's passing the last couple weeks, I'm a little more sensitive to a service and his presence and the words of a song, the words of a message. And you probably know what that's like. There's times that you're coasting and there's times that you're climbing. And when you're going through some trauma, some grief or whatever, those are times that you're climbing. You're climbing back into his presence, climbing to gain his strength. And just hearing words like, you're a good, good father, and just understanding the reality of that. Maybe you're climbing right now and going through some stuff. He is a good, good father, and you can trust him. He loves you. He's for you, and everything's going to be fine. He's amazing. Amen. A couple other announcements. Spaghetti fundraiser for Camille Stewart's coming up next Saturday, right? This coming Saturday. And that's going to be for her YWAM trip. It's at the Kuski City Center, so the community center there. So y'all go eat some spaghetti and give a big donation to Camille and bless her. YWAM's an amazing ministry. Of course, we got the Swans there and we got people there. We know how amazing it is, so support her. If you can't go eat spaghetti, you can give her cash anyway, you know, write her a check or something. We're excited for her and her future for sure. That's at 8 p.m. or from 5 to 8 p.m. You can eat for 3 hours. That's a lot of spaghetti. You better give a good donation if you're going to eat 3 hours. And then Linda Burnside's mother has passed this week also. And so Anna McIntyre and her service is going to be on Saturday as well. It's at 2 o'clock right here at the church. And so we invite you to come and support Linda and Dawn and the family and be a part of that celebration of life service for her. Following the service, they're headed to Woodland, and there'll be burial at the cemetery there, and then dinner at the church afterwards at the Woodland Church. So please come and support them and bless them. Give them a bunch of cards and put some money in there or some special things in there for them and be a blessing to them. Hey, we're going to dismiss the kids for children's church. I don't even remember the age of what, 3 years old to fifth grade? Is that right? Hey, I did it. And if you have some younger kids and you need some privacy, you can head back to the nursery there in the kitchen behind where it says bookstore there. And there's a window you can look at us all, and there's a speaker back there and all that stuff. Man, I've been listening to Pastor Arby these last few weeks and talking about stewardship and Esther. I think it was 2 weeks ago. He said this phrase, he was talking about stewarding the favor of God. Y'all remember that? And he was talking about Esther, and he said this phrase, he said, Esther had this attitude of knowing who she was and knowing who God was, and this attitude was, you might make me a slave, but I'm going to become the queen. And I thought, what an amazing attitude. What an amazing phrase. I've repeated that several times. That's the kind of attitude we need in life. One of my friends says, we're not down. We're either up or getting up, you know? And I thought, that's kind of what Queen Esther had with her thinking about the favor of God, stewarding her relationship with God, the favor that he has upon her. And that was just an amazing thing. We're going to follow in a similar line today, but I want to talk about stewarding our relationships with loyalty. And talking about this word loyalty, earlier in the week we had a district board meeting for our group in the Pacific Northwest, and it's my privilege and honor of bringing a devotion to that. And I just really felt like the Lord wanted us to think about loyalty. Not that anybody was disloyal, but there's benefits of loyalty that sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we just think about the sacrifice of loyalty or the choices of loyalty or the decisions of loyalty or the lines of loyalty. And I think sometimes we even have some misunderstanding of what loyalty is and what it isn't, and how it can be expressed even maybe more broadly than we would normally express loyalty. So I'm hoping by the end of the service, the Lord will help us out with that. Stewarding our relationships regarding loyalty. Because God wants to give us favor in our relationships. God wants to give us favor in our families, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. God wants to give us favor. And one of the ways is how we can express loyalty and interact with loyalty with one another. And so the word loyalty brings to mind a powerful sense of belonging. If someone's loyal, it's like, we belong together. I'm loyal to you. There's this solidarity that happens, you know. It's us against the world, you know. We're loyal. We're hanging out together, you and I. It comes with this whole idea of wholeheartedness, fidelity, coupled with an unswerving devotion and a sense of duty, loyalty. You guys like it when somebody's loyal to you? Does it feel like a little bit of a bummer when someone's disloyal, or you've interpreted something as being disloyal? I found out that there's times I interpreted something as being disloyal, but it really wasn't. And once we had a conversation and reconnected, I realized that I misinterpreted that whole deal, and there wasn't disloyalty there at all. There was amazing loyalty still intact. I just failed to see it and failed to recognize it. In the Bible, there's this concept of loyalty that's purely relational. I mean, you can be loyal to the Dallas Cowboys. A couple of us out there. Go Seahawks. They beat us in preseason. But anyway, you can be loyal to stuff and things, boards or whatever, you know. Always got to get some of those things in when I'm here, but really, biblically, the loyalty that we need to really focus on is the relational loyalty. And that's what God really talks about. Our whole being committed to someone. Joshua 24:15 describes it pretty well. And they're having this thing going on, and Joshua makes a stand, and he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I'm going to be loyal, and we are going to be loyal to the Lord. And what a great sentiment, what a great statement, what a great commitment. And guess what? Joshua backed it up, didn't he? With his actions, with his heart, he backed it up, and he did a great job. We see this kind of loyalty expressed in the two great commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Is that a little descriptive of loyalty? All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. And that second great commandment, the second one is what? Love your neighbor as you would love yourself. That's some great loyalty right there, wrapped up in the two great commandments. And Jesus kind of said, man, this encapsulates everything the Bible talks about. From the Old Testament and the prophets right up till today, this encapsulated. Love God. We say around here, love God passionately, and love others purposefully. That's some great images of what loyalty looks like. That's in Mark 12. You probably saw it up there behind me, right? God speaks of this regarding loyalty to us in Deuteronomy 7:9. We don't have it on the screen, but it says this: I will be loyal to you for 1,000 generations. Think about that kind of loyalty. To those that know God and those that serve God, for 1,000 generations of blessings, of loyalty. You and I cannot even fathom 1,000 generations. That's like 40,000 years. It's hard. You can't fathom that, can we? We cannot fathom that. 1,000 generations. But God said, that's kind of loyalty. Do you love generational loyalty? I love generational loyalty. we're working on that in our family. You know, mom and dad are in heaven now, and then you're stuck with me. I'm here for a while. But then I'm looking at my children, my two daughters, and then I'm looking at my six grandchildren. And before you blink, we're going to have great-grandchildren, right? You know how fast it starts going as you're aging, right? And we're starting to think about generational loyalty, not just to the family, but to the Lord, to what's right, to the mission or the commission of Christianity. Can we create some generational loyalty here? And there's a lot of value. There's a lot of benefit to this loyalty thing. And God says, I'm going to be loyal to you for 1,000 generations. Maybe you're struggling with some generational stuff. Maybe previous generations, you're all messed up because of that. And the Lord's really good at healing us and helping us. And maybe you're looking at your current generation or children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, and you're saying, Lord, I'm going to claim that promise that you're going to be loyal for 1,000 generations to us. And that could just empower your prayers and empower your confidence and empower your faith. Amen? The devil's not going to win. God's going to win. 1,000 generations. I love that. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39 talks about what can separate us from the love of God. Then it gives us this big, long list. And at the end of the list, and it says, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the loyalty of God, from the love of God. Nothing. That's powerful. That's beautiful. Lord, thank you for that. He has this unending love for you and I, and I need it. I know you need it too. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Good picture of loyalty right there with these two ladies, right? Ruth and Naomi, if you know the story at all. Ruth is the daughter-in-law. Usually mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws don't always have the best relationship, right? There's a few jokes around about that. There's some pain wrapped up around those jokes, right? But look at this one. This is pretty cool. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you," talking to her mother-in-law. And father-in-law's died. Ruth's husband has died. Ruth's brother-in-law has died. It's just two girls and mom left. Two daughter-in-laws and mom left. And Ruth said, don't entreat me to leave you or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people, they're going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. Where you die, I will die. Now, there's some loyalty there, huh? And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so if anything but death parts you and me. That's pretty amazing loyalty right there. That image and that picture. What a great example. When the Bible speaks of loyalty, it uses words like love, cleave, faithful. I'm going to stand with you. I'm devoted to you. I'm wholeheartedly with you. I'm going to be steadfast beside you. That's what the Bible uses, some of those words. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love to us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his loyalty to us, that even before we thought about him, followed him, loved him, he sent his son to die for us. That's loyalty. See, loyalty is not predisposed to perfection or agreement. And you and I might say, my loyalty is going to really depend upon you not transgressing against me, and my loyalty is going to depend upon us being in agreement. Because if we end up having a big disagreement, then I don't have to be loyal to you anymore. Or if you end up transgressing against me, I don't have to be loyal. Sometimes in our culture, in our society, We're looking for reasons to disconnect instead of reasons to connect. We're looking for reasons to push the eject button instead of push the connect button. But God wants you and I to understand the benefits of loyalty. It's not predisposed to us having perfection in this relationship or us having complete agreement in the relationship. God said, my love or my loyalty was demonstrated to you, and that while you were yet sinners, I sent my son Jesus to die for you. Man, that's amazing loyalty, huh? We didn't deserve it. We don't earn it. But he gives loyalty to you and I anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. That's probably going to pop up here. Maybe. Have they been popping up there? I haven't been watching. Yeah, maybe that rain got them. Anyway, those verses says, even if we are faithless, God will remain faithful. He will not deny himself. He won't deny this loyalty that he's committed to. There's times that you and I end up being faithless. There's times that we're not coasting and we're not climbing. We're on a screaming death march downward. There's times that we're that way. There's times that we're all messed up, faithless. But he said, even if you and I are faithless, he's going to be faithful. That's pretty cool. That's loyalty right there. I love that. Sometimes even in our Christianity and even in our doctrine, we think that God is quick to disconnect and God's quick to judge and God's quick to separate. He is not. He is not. He endures. He hangs with us. He believes in us. The cool thing about God is he can look down the road 20 years and know what's going to happen, and he's working for that result. You and I are a little more short-sighted than that. We have trouble looking ahead 20 minutes, don't we? 2 minutes sometimes, you know. We struggle with that, looking at the potential, looking at what the future could be, looking at what healing's going to look like, looking at what restoration's going to look like. We struggle with that sometimes. But God does not struggle with that. He does not struggle with that. Even if we're faithless, he remains faithful. Loyalty is rewarded, and disloyalty ends up being punished at the end, right? We know at the end of time in the book of Revelation, there's coming the judgment time, and everything we've done and said will be judged. We know that's going to happen. And if it's not under the blood and forgiven, it's going to be exposed, and you and I are going to have to deal with that with our God. We know that disloyalty, all liars and unbelievers and there's a big list, you know, that's going to be cast into the lake of fire. We know that there's a punishment for disloyalty at the end. And there kind of is right here with us too sometimes. Sometimes there's a price to pay for disloyalty. What's cool though is this is not the great white throne judgment and you're not the judge. And even though we can experience some disloyalty at times from each other, we have a commandment to forgive. We have a commandment to restore relationship. We have a commandment to reconnect. We don't always like that. Your flesh definitely doesn't like that. But we do have a commandment to love one another as I have loved you, right? So if God is this way, with loyalty, and even if I'm faithless, he's faithful, then if I'm supposed to love my neighbor like he's loved me, then even if they're faithless, I should be faithful to them and love them like God's loving me. And there's a whole lot of application to this in our life. Proverbs 17:17, and it was supposed to be at the end, but I got it right here in the middle too, so I don't know if we can pop it up or not, but it says this, a friend loves at all times, and there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Think about those three ideas. A A friend loves when? All times. At all times. Well, does all really mean all? I mean, isn't there something that could happen to where I don't have to love anymore? No, I think all really means all. I think a friend is supposed to love at all times. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we go, ooh, that's Jesus, right? Well, it could be Jesus in you. And it could be Jesus in me being a friend that sticks closer to somebody than a brother. It could be this loyalty, stewarding our relationships with loyalty. It could be that. And then it says this defining conclusion, a brother's born for a time of adversity. Well, think about that then. Well, I'll be loyal to you as long as there's no adversity in the relationship. But as soon as adversity shows up, boop, I'm out of here. No, a brother is born for a time of adversity. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and we're kind of supposed to be close to each other relationally, even closer than brothers. I had a brother. There are times we were close. There's other times when we swung fists at each other and poked at each other and were mad at each other. He would tell mom on me and stuff like that, you know. Traitor. Narc. That's what he was. But we're supposed to be even closer than siblings to our friends. This, stewarding our relationships with loyalty. Because a brother's born for a time of adversity. When adversity shows up, that's when loyalty needs to show up in spades. That's when we need to dig in. That's when we need to commit. That's when we need to hang in there with each other. Because I really don't need your loyalty in the easy times. Because the easy times are easy. I really don't need your loyalty then. I do need your loyalty in the days of adversity, and you need my loyalty, and we need each other's. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, they need your loyalty in those times of adversity. So when society would tell you to disconnect, and it's okay to disconnect, and you know, burn me once, you know, we got these phrases, right? Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. What an ungodly, unbiblical, horrible phrase. Amen? Not all of you said amen. Some of you going, I still kind of like that phrase. That's a good North Idaho phrase right there. We're independent. That's kind of like, I'll be loyal to you as long as you don't burn me. And you can burn me once a little bit, but if you burn me twice... Well, actually, that phrase means, if you burn me once, I'll never, ever give you a chance to burn me twice, because I'm disconnecting, and I'm going to put on Facebook how bad you are. I'm start spreading the news, and I'm going to do that, you know? You shouldn't. You shouldn't, because a brother's born for a time of adversity. This is convicting a little bit for me. I got some brothers, some friends right now that they've done some things that I do not like. And I have a choice if I'm going to disconnect or if I'm going to be loyal. I can't be loyal to the thing they did, but I can be loyal to the personhood of who they are. I can be loyal to the relationship and the friendship. They already know I don't like what they did. And I've talked to them on the phone a few times. And they've called me a few times. And we're actually going to get together a week from today. And I still don't like what happened. And a lot of people would disconnect a relationship because of that. But I'm going to be loyal to the, I'm not sure how many decades, 5 decades, that's a long time. Some of you have gone, that's forever. 5 decades of friendship. I'm not going to disconnect from that. I don't know how we're going to work out the thing, but we're going to stay friends somehow. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 says, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and they loved each other as their own soul. And if you've read the Bible a little bit, been around a little bit, you know that David and Jonathan had this soul connection, this friendship, this intense loyalty and love for each other. Did they have some good reasons to disconnect? My, my, my. I was praying about the sermon, and I said, Lord, and I had all this notes already written down, and I already had the verses, and I'm going, Lord, I'm looking for an example in the Bible about a couple of people who had every reason to disconnect, but they didn't. He's going, it's right there in the middle of your sermon. It's Jonathan and David. I'm going, whoa, it is, isn't it? Because Jonathan was Saul's son, and David was just the harp player, but he ended up being the son-in-law. I mean, that's a, we already talked about those kind of relationships, right? And Saul ended up being so jealous of David and was trying to kill David and threw a javelin at him a couple times, you know, and chased him around the creation for a while trying to kill him. And yet Jonathan found a way to be loyal to his friend and loyal to his dad. How unique is that? How amazingly godly is that? You know that Jonathan ended up dying in battle with his dad. He was that loyal and that connected to this dad that was a little demonized and was really wrong in his attitude. But you're my dad, and I'm hanging with you, dad. I'm going to be loyal to you, dad. And his dad tried to kill David, and Jonathan goes, David, I'm going to protect you. You need to get out of here. And he was loyal. You can go ahead and read the story if you're kind of questioning if I'm right or not. Read the story. Jonathan figured out how to be loyal to David and his dad. And he never compromised a thing. I'm going, Lord, I'm going to have to learn a little better how to do that. I like that. I want to steward my relationships in a way where I can be loyal. And Jonathan died, but guess what? David ended up favoring Jonathan's kids and taking really good care of them. And the reverberation of that loyalty kept going and going, maybe for 1,000 generations. I don't know. It went for a while. Look at Genesis 31:49. May the Lord watch between us while we're apart. This is Mizpah. I was telling Johnny Schuster about this week, and he looks at me like, you know how a dog's looking at you with a sideways look? Like, dude, you're crazy. I don't even know what you're talking about. I go, Mizpah, Johnny. You've seen the pendants. You've seen the coins around. It's kind of zigzag cut in two, and one wears one and one wears the other, and may the Lord watch. He goes, that must be old. Well, it is old. It's thousands of years old. You've really never heard of that? He had never heard of it. Who's never heard of it? Who's with Johnny? Some of y'all are, I've never heard of that. There are some cool things. You can get them at Walmart. Or Amazon. You can get real expensive gold-plated ones, too, if you want. You can get them in a necklace. You can get them in keychains. You can get them in a coin to stick in your pocket. And it says Mizpah. Is there an image of it up there? Can we get the image? Look at that. Mizpah. The Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from the other. Genesis triple X, whatever else that says, 149. 30, I know it's 30. I went to Rome, I know. Just think if you had half of that, it'd be Ms. The Lord between me while we won for Koi. That'd be a bummer, wouldn't it? If you didn't know what that was, maybe you've seen people wearing half of that before, and you're going, what is that all about? Or it could just say, puh, watch and thee are absent, another Genesis triple X, one greater than 49. That's kind of a weird way to write that, isn't it? The greater than symbol. But you put it all together, and it says, we're going to be loyal. We're going to watch out for each other. I knew the coin, and I knew the necklace. I knew that, and so I looked up the word Mizpah, and it says, well, it's a place in Israel. Of course it is. I know that, but what does the word mean? Why Mizpah? Why does they have that at the top? What does it really mean? And it means you're leaning forward into this relationship. You're peering into the distance to see, to know. It's a watchtower, a military lookout. Think about the lookouts we have up in the national forest, you know, where they're looking out for the safety of people and because of forest fires, the lookout. It's waiting for, watching out for, keeping watch, covering each other. And then one of the definitions of this word was to cover over with metal. That's like, I'm going to cover you with a strong shield and protect you. And may the Lord watch between you and I. We're in covenant. We're loyal. We're loving each other. May the Lord watch between you and I while we're apart from each other. What a great, great thing that is. Just from this sermon, the sales are going to skyrocket on Mizpah necklaces and coins. Maybe not, I don't know. Hebrews 13, 5 through 7 talks about the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. True loyalty just doesn't end. It's not fragile. Sometimes our loyalty is too fragile. Are you kind of getting that message today? Maybe my loyalty is too fragile. Maybe we need to bulk it up and strengthen it up. Maybe it needs to be something that covers others. It says love covers a multitude of sin, right? Maybe it should be something that covers others like a metal jacket, a suit of armor, or something like that. Here's a couple quotes. There's something wrong with your character if opportunity controls your loyalty. There's something wrong with your character if opportunity controls your loyalty. Loyalty shouldn't be shifting just because of a new opportunity, a bad or a good opportunity. It shouldn't be shifting. Another quote is, strong loyalty to the wrong things will inevitably lead to disloyalty to the right things. I'm pretty sure that you all have opinions. Are you sitting beside somebody that has strong opinions? They're loyal to those opinions, those principles. I have opinions about things, and they're covered in metal, some of them. You know, they are strongly fortified. But if I'm committed to the wrong opinions and the wrong principles, and again, we started out by saying commitment's supposed to be relational. Sometimes in Christianity, we do not steward our relationships well because we're more committed to a principle than we are to a person. And because our principle has been offended, our idea, our soapbox, you didn't agree with it, you offended it, and I was more loyal to that principle than I was to you as a person. And that's a dangerous thing. We should be loyal to relationships, not things or even ideas or even principles. And I can hear a lot of yeah buts out there. Yeah, but what about yeah, but what about? I know. We're really good at rationalizing our lack of loyalty. We have good reasons for our disloyalty. We have good reasons for when we disconnect. I know, but God's challenging that in us this morning because he's saying, I really want you to steward your relationships better, and I want you to practice loyalty better than you've ever done in your life before, because this is going to lead to favor. This is going to lead to blessings. This is going to lead to victories for you and people around you. When we can do this well, it will lead to that. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, New King James Version says, the steadfast love of the Lord never changes. And the Message Bible says, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. Lamentations, they're lamenting the problem. They're lamenting the pain. They're lamenting the history that has created the current reality. And in the midst of the lamentation, Jeremiah is going, God, surely your goodness hasn't run out. Your loyalty, are we at generation 1001? Are we at the end of your loyalty? Lord, surely, no, I can count. We're not there yet. Surely your loyalty hasn't run out. So Jeremiah ended up having amazing hope in the midst of the most distressing times because he knew God's loyalty had not run out and it would show up again and he would hang on and he would see it. Peter's loyalty faded when the rooster crowed. Remember, Peter? Lord, if everybody else walks out on you, I won't. Jesus goes, Peter, 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 Peter. You know, if the Lord says your name three times, you're really in trouble, right? Peter, before that old rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And he's going, never. It was a bad rooster, a sick rooster. A really old rooster, that was. But when that rooster crowed, he recognized, I have just denied the Lord for the third time. And he wept, he hung his head. You know, the cool thing was that Jesus didn't say, you're toast, Peter. I don't have to be loyal to you any longer. Just, you were disloyal to me. But when Jesus rose from the dead, who's the first person he's looking up? It's Peter. Like, we're going to restore you. You're going to be the rock. You're going to be a leader of the church, Peter. You're going to be that guy. Under pressure, sometimes our loyalty disintegrates a little, doesn't it? Peter goes, I will never do that. But under pressure, his loyalty disappeared. And if that's happened to you, you can be like Judas and go out and hang yourself, because Judas did the same thing, or you can be like Peter and weep and repent and be restored. And that's what we want. We don't ever want you to think like there's no hope and you can never get back. There's always hope, and we can always get back, always. Proverbs 20, verse 6, many will say that they're loyal friends, but how can you find one that's truly reliable? It sounds like a skeptic a little bit. Any skeptics in the building? Don't point at them, but are there any skeptics in the building? Many will say they're loyal friends, but who can find one? The New Living Translation says, lots of people claim to be loyal and loving, but where on earth can you find one? You know what the answer needs to be? At the Life Center. At the Life Center, you can find not just one, a couple hundred of them at the Life Center. Loyal people, friends that stick closer than a brother, that are born for a day of adversity, people that know how to steward their relationships really well. Out there on our sign, it says, living life together. Pastor Arby, his heart, and he and Kathleen model it so well, their heart of stewarding relationships in loyalty. They do it well. We need to follow an example like that and steward our relationships with loyalty. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, love each other as I've loved you. We've already talked about that. 1 Corinthians 13, 7, love, what does it mean to love each other as I love you? Love believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Don't you love the last part? Love never fails. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. That's loyalty. Greater loyalty, remember that word's interchangeable many times in the Bible. Greater loyalty has no one than this, that you lay down your life for your friends. I'll be loyal to you as long as it doesn't cost me anything. As long as I don't have to spend any money, I don't have to change my schedule, as long as I don't have to get up in the middle of the night, I'm happy to be loyal to you. That's not loyalty. It's not loyalty. So, I'm concluding. We must be loyal to God. We must be loyal to our calling. You're all called. You all have purpose in the kingdom. You all have things you were created for that God wants to use you for. And we need to be loyal to that calling. We need to be loyal to the responsibilities of our positions. Sometimes you have a title, a position, and you're supposed to be loyal to that, really loyal to that. Excellent, doing your absolute best with those responsibilities. Are you a dad? Are you a husband? Are you a mom? Are you a wife? Are you a CEO? Are you a neighbor? We have responsibilities for our titles, for what people call us. Not everything they call you, because there's some things people call you there's no responsibility connected to. That's just a bad word, right? Responsible to our positions, responsible to each other. We need to be loyal to our pastors. You really need to be loyal to Pastors Arby and Kathleen. I mean, capital L-O-Y-A-L, loyal to them. It is fashionable to disconnect from pastors. It's fashionable to talk bad about them and crucify them and pick up, you know, he said that, but that wasn't really true. The Bible says this and that. It's really fashionable to be critical and harsh and negative. The world is very negative towards pastoral spiritual leadership. And the problem is that a lot of times the church is almost just as negative. And we need to be loyal to our pastors. You need to be loyal to them. Loyal to each other, to our people. And one of the things that I really think about is I need to be loyal to the people that aren't here yet. There's a group of people coming tomorrow, next month, next year, and I got to be loyal to them. There's a whole lot to talk about that, but I don't have that. Loyal to the leaders above us, loyal to the peers around us, loyal to your family, loyal to your friends. And here's a point that's strong, probably the main point of the message. The loyalty that we are required to give each other is not exclusive, which means, have you ever met somebody that could only have one friend at a time? Again, don't point at them, but I can only be loyal to one person at a time, and I'm gonna put all my eggs in that basket, and I'm just gonna ignore everybody else. Well, sometimes with our loyalty in all these areas that I've just talked about, we feel like we can only be loyal to one person on one side of an issue, We can only be loyal if they qualify in this arena or that arena. And sometimes we feel like when an issue pops up, that's why I use the example of my friend that I'm going to go visit next Sunday. Am I going to be loyal to this group? And then now, because I'm loyal to my role as bishop in the Pacific Northwest, does that mean I have to be disloyal to this friend because there's a conflict there? And I'm going, no, I can be loyal. It's not exclusive. It's not like, but there are people that would love me to make it something exclusive. There are people to say, if you're really connected to your role as the bishop, then you need to shun and excommunicate this person. And I'm going, no, I can be loyal to my role and responsibility and be loyal to my friend at the same time. It's not exclusive. Well, can I be loyal to my husband and my kid? You better be. Can I be loyal to my boss and my coworker? You better be. Can I be loyal to, I was going to say some political stuff, but I'm just going to avoid that. You better be loyal to people because it's not exclusive, mutually exclusive. And that's why I talked about Jonathan and David and Saul. Saul wanted Jonathan to be exclusively loyal to him and was pretty angry at his son a couple times when his son was also loyal to David. But Jonathan found a way to do both. And I think that's a big challenge for us right now. Loyalty to both sides of issues sometimes. Both groups of people. And I know that's not fashionable, and I know that's not easy, but I think it's biblical. And we have to continually grapple with the application of loyalty and the tension that's involved in that. We have to do that. We have to do that. And I can say from in my family, I've had to walk that line. In my community, I've had to walk that line. And God wants you and I to get a lot better at walking that line with each other and with those that are also in our sphere of loyalty. I'm trying to finish up here. So I'm feeling like God wants us to be reminded of this for the days of ahead. And this was the pledge that I gave to my board members across the Pacific Northwest. I said this to them, I pledge my loyalty to you even when you disappoint me. I pledge my loyalty to you even when you challenge me. I pledge my loyalty to you even when we don't see eye to eye. I pledge my loyalty to you even when it's not convenient. We need each other. We need each other's loyalty. And that Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and a brother is born for the day of adversity. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's something that is doable, and it's something that God requires of us. It's something that we should be able to do better as we grow and mature, or at least as he reminds us of this. Maybe there's some areas in your life that this applies to right now. Maybe tomorrow you're going to be challenged with loyalty in an area or two, or to a person or two. And I pray that this message, these verses, this biblical concept stirs some good stuff inside of you. And the Lord will bless you and I as we steward our relationships even better with this thing called loyalty. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you today for challenging us. We do want to take stewardship serious. Pastor Arby has been leading us in that arena. We want your favor. We want, even when bad events are going on around us, for you to rise us up because of favor. We want that as a church. We want that as a family. We want that as individuals. And this is just one part of that. So God, help us take everything Pastor Arby's been saying, add this to it, and help us become great stewards of your favor, of this life you give us, of these opportunities that you give us. Lord, we're expecting better fruit and better results because of this. And Lord, some of us need strength and healing and restoration. And we ask that you would do that today, even as we contemplate this idea. Lord, we might even say, God, I cannot do that. And you would say, I will help you do that. God, we need your help, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Wayne's going to come. We'll receive the offering and get our prayer team up here after that.